Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to the newest episode of the Skyward Cast. I am Joey Craig here with my co-host, podcasting extraordinaire, Delvin Cox.
They shooting. How I made you look. You a slave to a page in my rhyme book. What's up? I love that song, my boy.
That was a little short piece of the rhyme, man. I expected you to give a verse.
Well, that was the chorus. I didn't want to get into the whole verse because that's them just gonna start singing the whole Brave Hearts and start yelling like Queens. And I don't know if people want to hear me say that, even though I'm not from Queens. I often holler out Queens when I'm rapping Nas songs. I love Nas.
What'd you think of my intro, man?
Good intro. Solid intro.
Thank you.
I give you props on that. That's a solid intro, Joy Craig.
Appreciate it. I'm gonna try to edit it and do like a freaking fire version. Gonna have sound effects and all that crap. Watch, it's gonna be crazy.
Okay, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to hear that. I'm excited to be recording the podcast again too. By the way, we got to do Fire Brigade eventually.
Yeah, man. Dang, what's it been like? 2 months?
No, you've been going 2 months.
Fire Brigade
has been continuing on.
Oh yeah, I forgot y'all. Y'all went without me.
Yeah, Eric has been gone for 2 months. Me, Chalfie, and Derek has still been doing Fire Brigade.
Dang, what the heck happened to Erica? Like,
she just disappeared. Every time I message, she's like, "I'm super busy and I've got all this stuff." I'm like, "Yeah, you're a celebrity now. I get it." Mm-hmm. She had to go cover San Diego Comic Con. I think it was.
Oh dang, she's too big for us, man.
Yeah,
that's rough.
That's what happens when you bring people in the game, man. They eventually get bigger than you, and then they just leave you. That's my life story.
Oh dang.
Yeah.
Make me sad, man.
Yeah, you'll leave me too when you get big enough. If you can just keep doing the goddamn podcast, maybe you'll get big enough so you can leave me and do better in life.
Oh man, you are depressing. I can't leave out in the homie, man. Like if I'm going up, I'm gonna take you with me.
I am fine with everybody leaving me as long as they become successful after that. I don't mind that. I don't mind being the guy who gets everybody else successful. That never bothered me at all.
Well, I mean, if you think about it that way, yeah. I mean, if you assisted a whole bunch of people to getting to their highest level of success, then I guess you could look at that from that point of view.
That's a huge accomplishment. I'm quite sure there's plenty of people out there who successfully help people become bigger names than probably themselves are. I think Charlamagne the God does a good job of that in terms of he constantly. People don't like to talk about it because people love or hate Charlamagne the God for whatever reason they do. But he's constantly bigging up other people that he's cool with, like Andrew Schultz, who does the Brilliant Idiots podcast with him, Little Duval, people like that. He's constantly bringing up and kind of bringing attention to, which I think is a dope thing to do when you're in a position of power. You bring up people who maybe not as big as you are and give them that light. Even Angela Rye. A lot of people didn't know about Angela Rye until Charlamagne the God had her on his podcast and started talking about her often and becoming good friends with her. I think it's very important for us when we get in positions of power, or even not necessarily positions of power, just positions where our voice is being heard, to uplift other people in those positions. I think that's one of the reasons why I went to Fire Brigade. I wanted to do that podcast and let people know of these other people who I think are really cool that they can that they would like. And I eventually, the whole thing with Fire Brigade, I wanted to not necessarily take it out of the Patreon, but I wanted it to be its own thing. I'll have like a free version of the show.
Yeah.
And I still do the once a month thing, but the whole thing about that is, we're talking about the business of my podcasting, but the whole thing about that is it has to be consistent. So once that show becomes consistent, then I'll be like, okay, Fire Brigade can stand on its own.
All right, man. Hey, that sounds good. Yeah. I didn't know that was the plan. I guess that's because I've been absent last couple times.
Yeah, that's the plan for the Fire Brigade and the USA to UK podcast. I want those shows to eventually stand on their own and kind of do their own thing. Even I look at it like this. After I'm gone, when I get hit by a bus or look to be 99 years old, I want those shows to be able to live on. Whether it's you guys or whoever you guys put in place. Like, you know, I think those shows can have that staying power. I know eventually one day the Delvin Cox Experience is going to eventually die unless my son takes it over, because you can't necessarily replace me because my name's literally in the podcast, but I would like my other shows to continue on.
Yeah. Hey, man, well, that's a awesome plan. Obviously, I wish you the best with that. And hopefully we can get the dang the Fire Brigade on track so it can actually be consistent, so a part of that plan can happen. I'm gonna come through next time. I'm not going to be, I don't know. What the heck happened last time? I know it was something. I think it was some scheduling.
One time you just fell asleep and forgot.
Oh, God.
That was the last time. The last time you fell asleep and forgot. The time before that was a scheduling issue where the time changed, then it didn't change, then it changed again. And then you didn't see it until the time.
The original time.
Yeah, the original time. So then you appeared at the original time, and nobody else was there at the original time except me. I think you ended up doing the Skyward Cast instead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dang, that was a minute ago. That was the last episode, which is, you know what?
2 months ago.
Yeah.
That was 2 months ago. Yeah, that was October when that happened.
Hold up. No. Wait.
Yeah, that was October.
Oh, no. Okay, I released the last episode at the beginning of November, but we recorded late. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Oh, you know what? This is episode 20, man. We finally got to episode 20.
It only took 9 months to get to episode 20.
Still, that aside, that's awesome to be at 20.
Most podcasts don't make it to 20, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. So how was your Thanksgiving, man? What'd you do?
Thanksgiving was pretty good. I spent the day with my kids, so that was a good thing. You know, I took them to their grandmother's house, and then I took them to their in-laws' house, and that was kind of the whole gist of Thanksgiving. Oh, I did go out on Thursday for Black Friday, which was surprising because I usually don't have time to go out for Black Friday, but I did this time on that Thursday because, you know, stores open on Thursday at 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked to find out that stores wasn't that busy.
Well, yeah. I mean, they changed up the deal. Like, they don't just have that packed time slot anymore. Now you can go like over the whole weekend. It's like Black Friday weekend, weird thing like that. So,
yeah, I was there. I went to GameStop at 5 o'clock because we were going to my in-law's house anyway. So I said, let's just stop at GameStop because it's not too far from there. And it wasn't empty, but it wasn't crowded. But then again, to be fair, I think it's the fact that those deals weren't necessarily that great. Like, unless you didn't have a PS4 already, the PS4 deals and the Xbox One deals were pretty good. But the deals on games themselves, they weren't really spectacular. At least on the Thursday doorbuster deals, weren't really that spectacular. Mm-hmm. They're like, that's not a big deal. That's kind of stuff that we kind of see all the time. Maybe it's because it's an off-year in gaming, I think it is. Like, there are good games that came out this year, but nothing really, like, stood out.
Yeah. A lot of those deals also, like, you can go online and get those same deals. So people really had no reason. It's like, if I could just sit back and click something on Amazon or BestBuy.com, like, why the heck do I need to go out after I just ate or even the day after? It's like, I can chill in, you know? And they were offering free shipping on a lot of stuff. So all you had to do was pick up 2 or 3 items, and there you go. So I understand the not being that many people out there. I probably wouldn't win either.
I think the best deal I saw was, you know, the arcade cabinets that I like, the 1UP arcades.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Pac-Man one for $200. And it's normally $300. And they had the new Marvel Heroes one that has Marvel Heroes. I think it's X-Men and the Punisher game for $250. As opposed to this being $300. So those were pretty really good deals for those.
Individually. So is it just one game per cabinet?
No, it's 3 games.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It varies on the cabinet. Some cabinets have like 2 games. Some cabinets have 3 games. But I know the Marvel one has 3 games. It has The Punisher. It has X-Men, Children of the Atom. And it has, I think it's Marvel Superheroes. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And, Pac-Man one has Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man, I think. But the cabinets are super cool, by the way.
Yeah, you know, if I had the money and the space for one, I would love to have like a Turtles in Time.
That one just came out, by the way.
I think I saw it. Didn't you post something about that?
I retweeted. My boy got one. Jared Albrecht. He just got the Turtles in Time camera. I think it was on sale for $350 or something. Because that was $400.
Oh,
because
dang.
Because it's a 4-player cabinet.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a 4-player cabinet that you have to set up, and that was $400. And the Star Wars one, which is really cool, is also $400. That's the one that Do you remember the old Star Wars games they had in arcades?
Mm-mm. Oh, the racing, right?
No, not the racing one. The one that that has the weird controller that you have to do the Death Star run with. It's really cool. It's not the one you sit down in. I have to send you a picture of it, but it's really, really cool.
Yeah, I never actually played that. Only, like I said, the only game Star Wars in the arcade I ever played was the one where you're doing the one that was on N64.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, the one from like episode one, I think.
Yeah, the racing one, the pod racing one. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That crap was fun, man. Jeez. So like, if I could get one of those, or what was that? You know, that Marvel arcade game where you could play as like Wolverine or Cyclops, I think. It was sort of like a Turtles in Time deal.
I think that was probably going to end up coming soon anyway. That was a really cool one.
That game, that was one of my favorite games. I remember when I was a kid, used to go to the grocery store, and they had like 4 or 5 arcade games in the front. And I would just, it was perfect. It was a perfect setup. It's like right when you walk in, games lined up. And then, you know, the parents would go in and go shopping. And then I'd just be sitting there and I keep running through the store. Like, because I'd run through I'd get like $1, sometimes $1.50 if I was lucky. And I'd sometimes kill those off. And then the timer would go down. Okay, you got 60 seconds before you can't continue. I'd run through the store like, Mom, I need more quarters. And so I'm running through the freaking aisles trying to find her so I can hurry up and get him and then rush back. And I think one time I actually beat the whole freaking game. That whole Marvel. Cool. Yeah, I was mashing through it, man. It was fun. Cool memories from my childhood.
I love the fact we live in a time where you can go out and buy arcade cabinet and it's not expensive. Like, and even if you had the money, they were like $1,500, $2,000 on the low end.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Now they're like, you can buy one for these cabinets. Like the one I have is Street Fighter. So it has regular Street Fighter 2. It has the Championship Edition. I think it has the Turbo Edition. I think it's really cool to just sit there at an arcade cabinet and have that nostalgia feel when you're just sitting there playing Street Fighter all day.
How big are these?
They are... I want to say half the size of arcade cabinet, a regular arcade cabinet. But the thing about it is they sell a riser for $50. That makes it arcade cabinet size.
Okay, that's a nice deal. Because I was going to say, like, well, dang, how would you set that up? Is it? So if they got the riser, that'd be cool for me so I could actually stand up and play it.
Yes, because theoretically speaking, without the riser, it's meant to be sitting like a coffee table and you play it like that or you sit down and play or something like that. But with the riser, basically arcade cabinet size, and it's perfect to sit down and just stand up and just play it.
So I wonder if it's like, so it's basically like an emulation machine on the inside. It's like a...
I would say it's like an emulation, because I've read that you can hack them. I haven't tried it yet. I don't want to try it. I'm like, this is fine. But yeah, you can hack them.
You wouldn't want to... Load up all your games on there, man, just instead of buying the individual cabinets.
I think it would be cool, but I don't want to take mine apart. I don't want to take it apart and kind of figure that thing out. If it had like a USB slot and it was that simple to do it, then I'd be like, okay, that kind of makes sense. I don't want to go through the hassle of trying to take it apart and figure out how to hack it and all that stuff. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it was like a Raspberry Pi on the inside, then... I don't know what the heck is inside.
I think that's what you could do. I think they said it's a way you can put a Raspberry Pi in the machine itself.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be a cool deal because that sucker has all the ports, you know. And they go for like $40 on Amazon, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. If I knew somebody like locally who could do that, I'd probably have them do it for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to try to do it myself. I'm like, it's a cool concept, but I like my cabinet the way it is.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, that was, wait, how did we get on there? I know we were talking about
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we're Thanksgiving. Black
Friday and Thanksgiving, yeah.
So what did you end up picking up?
I didn't get much stuff. I got mostly stuff for my kids. Video games and stuff like that they wanted for Christmas that were kind of cheap. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff I got for myself was a lot of DVDs and Blu-rays. I got a lot of DVDs and Blu-rays. I got probably like 10, I want to say, DVDs and Blu-rays. They were really cheap. They were like $5, some were $2. Yeah. And they were new things that I wanted to see. So I'm like, let's get a whole bunch of them. I think I bought Spider-Man Far From Home, the 4K version for $5. And I have the Blu-ray version, but why not get the 4K version for $5?
$5. Dang.
Yeah. That's what I love about Black Friday. That's the reason why I go out to get DVDs and Blu-rays of shows I want to watch and movies I want to watch for a really cheap price. I got like Pet Sematary for like $5. I got, which I watched recently, Overlord, the J.J. Abrams movie.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
Yeah, I got the 4K Blu-ray of that for $5. I got a lot of good stuff.
Well, dang, man. You had a... Your deal huntings were a lot more eventful than mine. I got a iFixit kit. It's like a electronics repair kit that was $5 off. So
that's cool.
It's cool.
What does it fix?
It basically just comes with like a bunch of like screwdriver bits, like different ones for different tech. You know, because they have all these specialized screws. Anyway, so they come with like I think it's like 20. Of the most commonly used different screw tips so that you can get in and it has like a suction cup to help you take off like the screen of phones and, different tools to disconnect the wires on the inside of like phones and stuff. Like if you're trying to repair stuff and,
I should send you some stuff to fix.
Hey, I don't want to use your stuff for experimenting. I'm in the beginning stages, you know what I'm saying? I'm okay at this stuff, but I got this kit so I could, you know, get more active at it. Cause you know, people are always breaking stuff or something just kind of dies off. And it's just like a small repair away from being just as good as new. And I want to figure out how to do that. Like I got a phone that I loved that phone. It was so cheap. Cause I love getting something on a deal. It was Blue R1 HD. It was a solid phone, but I dropped it. I think it was like soon after I got it. It has a glass front, which I hate. Glass screens, they might look nice, but I don't know whose idea it was to put a freaking glass screen on a phone. You're supposed to take that everywhere with you. It's supposed to be durable.
It's anyway, a brilliant idea.
That was, oh man, I'd want to slip.
It's brilliant because you have to constantly get that glass screen fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to keep paying to repair it or just buy a new phone.
Or get one of those stupid, what do you call them? One of those covers or what's that glass? Those kind of like glass type. Anyway,
glass screen protectors.
Yeah, those things. So you got to put those on there. Anyway, so I ended up cracking it. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And eventually it just basically had a hole going straight through it. So I seen online that I could get a screen replacement for $20 and iFixit. They actually have a whole bunch of different guides from different people that did the repairs before. So I'm going to go in there, check out the steps, buy the screen for $20 and I'll have my phone back. I love that phone.
That's good.
If it works. Good. Because if I mess up, well, I'm right back where I was. I have to get another one. Oh, man. Hey, man. So other than that, I mean, hey, did you see that new Black Widow trailer?
Yes, I did. What did you think?
I thought they didn't give us enough. Like, I mean, I didn't really know what to think. Like it. Also, I thought it was going to be an origin story, which I really wanted to see from Age of Ultron. You know, when they had the kind of flashback.
Maybe it is.
It could be. That is true. They could have, because it's a teaser, that could have been like something to throw us off. And maybe.
Yeah. I never thought it was going to be a full origin story in terms of like the whole movie's about her origin, but I think they're going to have flashbacks to her origin and stuff like that. And probably show some of them scenes from Age of Ultron and things like that over again and give us a glimpse of her character.
I hope so. Also, I was hoping it was going to be more of a, the tone was going to be a little darker. This felt kind of like, I can't remember what movie I compared it to. But, it felt like Ant-Man, that trailer, which was like kind of weird. Like Black Widow, like this feels a little too lighthearted. But once again, it's a teaser. It could be deceptive, so we will see. But it looked interesting, though. I'd want to go see it.
I think it looked good. There are like small gripes my nerd comic ass has with the movie, like the whole thing that Taskmaster doesn't look like Taskmaster. Yeah, that's a problem. I think that, in my opinion, I think that's just version one of the character. I think we'll probably see a more true to form Taskmaster maybe in another movie or maybe in that movie, for example. But I like where they're going with the movie so far. I didn't think it was going to get too dark because Marvel, for the most part, has played it safe. Even though they say Doctor Strange, the sequel's not going to do that. So that's going to be really interesting. But I'm really interested to see where they go with this Black Widow movie. Because I have a theory that they're not making this movie for no reason. Like, this movie's super successful. This won't be the last one. They're going to bring that character back to life. And that's a fact.
I hope so. Because I felt like that was kind of a flop of an end, man. Like, they kind of phased her out. They didn't even recognize her.
Yeah.
They barely recognized her. It was like, that's just disrespect. Not even Bruce really gave her the respect she deserves. But, yeah. I'm hoping. I mean, you know, they have to. Because they can't just be like, hey, well, here's her own movie to send her off. They have to set her up, to be in the MCU in the future.
And that's my whole thing about the movie. I think that you're not going to make a Black Widow movie and just make it a one-off. Because this is something that people have been asking for years. Like, when she first was introduced in, I think it was Iron Man 2. I think I'm going to say Iron Man 2. People were kind of like, when's her movie coming out? When's her movie coming out? The first female superhero character that you've seen in movies that's pretty awesome. That's not Wonder Woman. You know, they've had other... DC has always done the thing where they kind of put out women characters and powerful positions like Wonder Woman or Supergirl, for that matter. Marvel hasn't necessarily done that fully. You know, they've been in TV shows and cartoons and stuff like that, but they haven't really done it on a big screen. And Black Widow was that character that people wanted to see become that. And when we got the whole... Essentially, everybody got a movie in the MCU, and we didn't get her movie. People were like, that's a little weird. And then on top of that, when Wonder Woman came out and became the big hit that it was, that made it even worse because people were really looking at Marvel like, why hasn't this character got a movie? And I think that's one of the reasons why we got, okay, they came out with Wonder Woman, let's give them Captain Marvel. And people like Captain Marvel, but people were still asking the same question. Where is the Black Widow movie? And now it seems like we're getting that.
Well, I hope it was worth the wait because... Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it was a big slap in the face for them to give Captain Marvel a movie before her to begin with. I don't know who thought that was a good idea. And then Captain Marvel was kind of, it was okay. It was good.
I get why they did it because the whole Wonder Woman thing blew up and people want to see that strong female character that's as badass as Wonder Woman, and Captain Marvel in the comic books is essentially Marvel's version of Wonder Woman. I get that. But I think, especially after Winter Soldier, Black Widow movie should have came directly after Winter Soldier. That should have been a thing. Because her character was really highlighted in that movie. People loved her in that movie. She was awesome in Winter Soldier. She felt like a character. Winter Soldier, and that's my favorite Marvel movie. You know, I love Captain America. That felt more or less like a Captain America Black Widow movie.
Uh, somewhat, yeah. And I mean, I think that
she was there for the whole, well, Captain America, Black Widow, and Falcon, essentially. Because she was there for essentially the whole ride of the movie. And she wasn't a secondary character at all. She did a great job in that movie. And I felt like people wanted to see more of that. And we didn't get that. Even in kind of like Civil War and stuff like that, she played a major character, but we never really got what we wanted to see out of that character. And I think that's kind of a disservice to her.
Mm-hmm. So as far as like the MCU version of Black Widow, I mean, you being more into comic books, like I barely have read any. Is that version accurate or kind of close to the comic book version?
Yeah, for the most part, it's pretty accurate and close to it. You know, Black Widow, one of those characters who switches allegiance because she's not necessarily a superhero, she's a super spy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of things, areas they can touch on with Black Widow and stuff like that. And I think she's a cool character, a cool concept of a character. But I think for the most part, Marvel did a great job with the character. I would have liked to have seen more done with her. I would even go as far as say that she would have a great Disney Plus series.
Yeah, maybe that's what they'll do. I don't know. I hope it doesn't really turn into... Nah, they wouldn't do that to her. They wouldn't turn her series into like a Disney Plus type of deal, especially if they already went this route. But they could spin it off that way. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. Yeah, I hope it turns out to be great.
I do too. I really think that character's a great character. And even with all the comments that Scarlett Johansson have said of late to kind of put a damper on that character in terms of, I don't know if I really want to root for Scarlett Johansson, but the character itself is a great character. I like the fact that it's getting the light it deserves.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like her personal comments, I usually try to separate that. It's like separate the art from the artist.
Definitely. You know what I mean?
'Cause there's so much stuff I wouldn't like if I was paying attention to the people behind the scenes. I just let it be, man. So, but yeah, man, it was, That was pretty decent. Speaking of hero movies, Zack Snyder recently posted a picture of the actual like film, the film reels from the Snyder cut of Justice League.
Because Warner Brothers tried to lie. Did you hear about that? You heard about that part, right?
No, I didn't hear about that. What'd
that's
they
say? Why he essentially did that, because I think the composer came for the movie came out and said he think it's not done. And I think Warner Brothers came out and said, well, the Snyder Cut's really not done. And after all the people came out, like, you know, Ben Affleck came out, Gal Gadot came out and said, release the Snyder Cut. Everybody kept saying that. Then I think a rep from Warner Brothers said, oh, the movie's not really done. There's no Snyder Cut to put out. There's not enough stuff there. Zack Snyder kind of clapped back and said, no, it's done. You just don't want to release it.
They're trash, man. It's probably some annoying people behind the scenes that have no idea about what makes a good hero movie that are just sitting in the way of this. You know what I'm saying?
I honestly think there's more to it than that. I think they don't want to say it. I think they had a big falling out with Zack Snyder over the movie, and they used his daughter's death as an excuse to just like, all right, your daughter passed away. You got to take care of your daughter. This is our way to get you off the movie quietly without any resistance, essentially. That's what it kind of seems like.
I mean, possibly. You know, it's a whole bunch of just fools behind the scenes this whole bunch of grimy work, man, that we don't actually see. But I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, because they wanted to push him out. And they wanted. It seems like if you look at it, they wanted Joss Whedon to do this movie.
And look how that trash turned out. I mean, Joss Whedon. What was the last movie? You know what? Okay, I can't say anything really negative about Joss Whedon anymore, because I used to not. I was upset at how he did. What was it? Age of Ultron. And so. Yeah. I used to think, oh man, he's trash. Look at here he comes, he's gonna come over here and mess this up, right? But then I went back and I watched Age of Ultron, and I actually think it's a solid, underrated movie. It's a good movie. Once you rewatch it and you kind of pick apart the story and kind of understand it a little more, then it's, I don't, it's like you can appreciate the story, like the underground stuff that you don't really pay attention to when you're paying attention to all the explosions and all this crap like that. Once all that gets pushed aside, you get to see that it was actually a solid movie.
Yeah, it's a solid movie. I think people give it a bad rap, and I also think I like the story that came out of that movie. Did you hear the story about Chris Evans in that movie?
No. What do you mean?
The fact that you know, Age of Ultron, if I'm correct, and it's after Winter Soldier.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
He kind of went up to Josh Whedon, was like, "Hey, you need to fix these scenes because Winter Soldier happened and Cap doesn't fight like he fought in Avengers 1. He is a very accomplished fighter who can take on bigger characters. You can't make him look like the weak link of this team as he was in Avengers, where Cap was fighting people, but you wasn't putting Cap up against Thanos. That you wasn't putting Avengers 1 Cap against Thanos." And Winter Soldier kind of change that narrative when you see Cap being the comic book version of Captain America, where he was kicking ass and taking names, essentially. So Josh Whedon had to rewrite the script and give that cool battle with Captain America and Ultron, and you kind of see Captain America holding his own against Ultron because of that.
Captain America and Ultron. When did that happen?
That happened in Age of Ultron on the bus, if I'm correct.
No, you, I mean, fighting when on top of the bus. Yeah, I was mean like when in the movie. I don't remember that part.
It was in the middle of the movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was the second fight. But it's a long, detailed fight between those two. Well, if I remember correctly, he even loses his shield in the fight, and Black Widow rides up on the side of him and throws the shield back to him. And he's literally fighting Ultron hand-to-hand combat.
That sounds familiar. I gotta rewatch it. But yeah, man. I don't know. I'm hoping.
Also, Justice League is not Josh Whedon's fault. I give him credit. It's not his fault at all.
I'm not gonna put everything on him because, I mean, what was it? Batman versus Superman was not perfect. It was far from perfect. Yeah. So I can't put that all on him. But
the problem with Justice League is the fact that it's literally two scripts of a movie pushed together.
Exactly.
And you can tell the parts what Zack Snyder did. You can tell the parts what Josh Whedon did. And they both have two completely different directing styles and writing styles in terms of how they want the movie to go. And I think that's what hurt Justice League the most. And the fact of the matter is that Justice League makes no sense whatsoever.
I need to rewatch it. I saw it one time and I don't even remember what happened.
I will say this. Watch Batman versus Superman and watch all the things that movie sets up, and then look at Justice League, and then you're like, what happened to all the stuff y'all set up in the previous movie? The only thing that they kept is the fact that Superman's dead.
I don't know. I need to, yeah, like I said, I need to go back. I'm going to go back, and then we can talk about it in the next episode. Because I don't even remember. I guess that says something about the movie that I don't really remember exactly what happened, but it has been a little bit too. But I don't know, man. I really want them to come out with that so we can actually just put this whole thing not just to rest, but I would love to see the original vision. I mean, as close to it as you can get. I mean, because when I saw, have you seen the original Batman versus Superman versus the Ultimate Edition?
Yes, I have it. I own it.
So, man, if watching the original compared to the Ultimate Edition, just those small changes, I don't know who was on crack and just decided to take out all those parts. They completely erased context out of a whole bunch of situations in that movie.
Yeah, and then it makes Ultimate Edition, a more coherent movie.
Yes, it's actually a solid movie. At that point, it's not like what happened. No, you actually start to understand stuff. I mean, don't cut major points out of a movie just to make sure it has a certain running time. But yeah, I don't know. It seems what they did, because there's no reason for it other than that.
Yeah.
I would have been fine with it being, what was it, extra 25 minutes longer, yeah, if I would have understood like 3 hours going on.
I think 3 hours is appropriate for a movie named Batman versus Superman, because people will want to see that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Even though Batman versus Superman should have come way later on. It shouldn't even been an introduction of Superman to Batman. It should have been post freaking Justice League.
My whole thing is this. I think if they want to build a universe, I think this is how they should have did it. They should have been Superman. Then the second movie should have been World's Finest, which is Batman and Superman teaming up. Then probably do Justice League War. Then you can go into Batman v Superman and stuff like that. I think, for those who don't know, World's Finest, I think they did a DC animated movie on that.
Yeah,
and it happened in a Batman animated series too, where Batman ends up going to Gotham and stuff like, he ends up going to Metropolis and stuff and having to help Superman with stuff. Or they could have did that. Have you ever seen the movie Batman and Superman Public Enemy?
I believe I did. I watched a whole bunch of them. They really
good. It is a fantastic, fun story. Where basically, Superman gets framed for something he didn't do, and Batman has to come help him out. And it's just Batman and Superman just fighting against all these random villains and heroes, for that matter, who were hired to arrest Superman. It is a super cool, fun story.
I need to watch that. I'm not 100% sure I saw that one. I think I saw the trailer for that one, and I just didn't watch it yet. I've watched a whole bunch of those Justice League movies, surprisingly, because I don't watch a lot of like animated films, but those were good. I kind of went on a marathon for a second. Those were solid. And I think when we finally started to get those live action DCEU movies, I was hoping that we were going to get more of that, just live action. You know, but the translation wasn't as solid. But you know, hey, maybe they can turn some things around. But
I'm gonna say this, and isn't it sad to say this, that the fact that the Arrowverse gets it right better than the movie universe is crazy to think about. Like, the Arrowverse is built up to literally Crisis on Two Earths. We're gonna get that, and people are more excited for that than they are any of the Warner Brothers movies right now. That's crazy to think that the CW universe has done a better job of building their heroes than movies with millions of dollars of budget.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the people at the head don't know what the heck they're doing, man. It's so disappointing. And I said this before, it was like, it's like people expect you to still be able to enjoy movies like Wonder Woman and Aquaman, when at this point we don't know what the heck is going on with Batman or Superman. Like, how are we supposed to enjoy these films within the DCEU when it's like those two main characters just have question marks next to them? Like, are they going to come back? Are they going to cut the whole thing and reboot it at some point with a whole new cast? Is freaking what's that? I forgot his freaking name. Dude from Twilight. Is he going to somehow replace Ben Affleck's Batman? Or like, how would they even do that? What the heck is going on? Is it going to be like this, like, multiverse type situation? And he's his own Batman. And I don't know, man. It's a freaking mess. So it's hard for me to even, I think that's one of the reasons why I haven't even watched Aquaman yet. I haven't watched it because it's like, this is one part of like that whole universe. It feels just shattered, and they have like
Aquaman, and I'll tell you why I like Aquaman, because it doesn't touch on any of the past. It's just a fun movie. Doesn't touch on Justice League, doesn't touch on anything like that. It's just like, we're making a fun movie. That's it.
I think if they would have actually set up all the individual characters like Marvel did. And so they felt like they had their own world and didn't actually come from the Justice League to this, then it would have felt okay. But it feels like, okay, well, we started from here, and y'all are just, you just kind of want me to forget about that whole mess you got going on with that whole thing. So if they would have had their own world and then brought them together, then it would have been fine. But now it just feels all shattered. I think that's my issue with it, because it was done so backwards. Well, not necessarily back. Yeah, it was done backwards.
Yes, it was.
Oh, man. Anyway, hopefully one of these days we get that Snyder Cut. I will definitely go to the theater to see it. I would.
I don't think it's going to be a theater, though. If I was taking a guess.
They better. Look, they, even if it's a limited run, I would find some type of way to go see it. Most likely, yes. They'll probably just put it on HBO's streaming service next year sometime. Because, you know, they got that DC partnership with Warner. Yeah. So
it's possible. They have their own app, so I don't know why they just don't use the app for stuff like that.
That app has always been I don't know why it even exists. And especially now, because of that partnership, all future freaking DC movies are going to be coming to HBO Max, which is supposed to. So it just basically kills any point of that whole DC. What is it called again?
DC Universe Online app. DC Universe app.
There's no point for that thing to exist. So,
and there's great shows on there. Well, they're not great is a strong word. There are very good shows on there.
They're probably going to kill that off. Once they actually kill that off and put it on an app with a whole bunch of other good content to make it more worth the price, then I'll actually watch that stuff. But there's no way. It might be cheap, but I mean, even if it was $2, if it's $3, I couldn't justify it. Like, I can justify $2 for Hulu. I can justify $5 for Hulu, $5 for Netflix, because there's a whole bunch of other stuff to watch. But exclusively for DC content, I wouldn't buy Disney Plus if it was just Marvel. I don't like Marvel stuff that much. I definitely can't justify for DC.
That's a good point. You know, I think there is there's some good content on there that's worth checking it out for. It's like, I think it's $7 a month, if I remember correctly. And they got some good stuff on there.
For DC?
Yes.
Oh, $7. Ooh.
But yeah, I think about like this.
That's Disney Plus.
Yeah, it's $7 for all of DC's universe, essentially. Like Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, the Justice League, Young Justice, and the new shows they have coming on and stuff like that. It's a lot of stuff on there. And the old cartoon shows that they had. It's a lot of stuff on there.
It might be a lot of stuff, but you got to remember, pretty much, I don't know, it's like 100 years of Disney, Marvel, Star Wars freaking content all loaded into Disney Plus for the same price. That kills it. There's no way you could justify it unless you are just a hardcore fan of DC. I heard
that's what they're banging on.
How's that been going?
I think it's working now, but I don't think it's as big as people want it to be. I think it's working for the most part. But then again, Disney's just cheating the game in terms of, like, Netflix. I don't think Netflix can compete with Disney Plus.
I think it really depends on the programming, because Netflix has a lot more mature programming that you're not going to get on Disney Plus. I mean, that's why.
Not necessarily. Disney Plus, have you looked at Disney Plus? Has a lot of stuff on it. Like, I didn't even realize Avatar was on Disney Plus.
Yeah, but that's almost Marvel level. Like, they wouldn't put stuff that's too bad on there. For that kind of stuff, they're going to put that on Hulu. You know what I'm saying? That's why they even got that bundle for $12.99 is ESPN.
You get ESPN, Hulu, and Disney Plus for $12.99. That's cheaper than Netflix.
Isn't Netflix like $8.99 starting?
No, I think Netflix is $8.99 for like just one screen. Netflix is expensive. It's like $13.
Let me see this crap real quick.
For like the actual Netflix, the good version of Netflix is like $13-$14.
What's the good version of Netflix?
Well, you can stream on more than one device, and you get like 4K streaming. Let me look it up right now.
Average person doesn't have a 4K TV. I mean, I wouldn't. So, I mean, me, I max out at 1080. So all I need is that basic and maybe two screens. So what's that, like $10?
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm looking it up right now. Just to, I want to give up.
Let's see. I don't know. Either way, man. I think the programming is Netflix's programming can definitely stand on its own. I mean, they got Black Mirror. They got so much exclusive content that has nothing to do with like a Disney. I mean, even though they're about to lose some good movies over to Disney Plus mid next year, but they got a lot of stuff, especially the Witcher, which I hear some people are already hyped about it and saying it's, I don't know, that sucker could be huge. It could be Game of Thrones.
Yes. Okay. I have the prices for you. The basic plan, which is one screen at a time and SD resolution, is $9.
SD?
Yes.
SD. Good Lord.
The standard plan, which is two screens at a time and HD resolution, is $13.
Hold on, man. SD, come on.
Yeah. And the premium plan, the one that people really supposed to get, the one they want you to get, which is four screens at one time, HD and Ultra HD, which is 4K essentially, is $16 a month.
Jesus. Dang, I didn't know the price went up like that. That's, I don't know. I mean, $12.99 for what they offer. I mean, I'd still be willing to, it depends. I might be willing to pay that. It depends on what's on there. I mean, cause if you HBO, what is it? Isn't it like this, the standard HBO app?
$14.99.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're a big enough fan of Game of Thrones and all that other stuff, they have some major hits. So, what's that new show?
Talking about Watchmen?
Yeah, like, see, all that stuff. I mean, if you love that kind of stuff, that might make it worth it. So, I think they're kind of, the prices are getting a little too doggone high now. You know what I'm saying? That was the point of it before, was that we were staying well below cable packages. Now they're kind of creeping up there, man. If they keep going, they'll be scratching $20 standard real soon.
Yeah, but you know, the thing about HBO is, I think most people get HBO for particular shows. Like, they don't, most people don't think keep HBO. I think most people are like, okay, I'm gonna get it for this month because of Game of Thrones, or I'm gonna get it for this month because of Watchmen, then I'll get rid of it. Netflix is something that people want to keep like all the time. And I think that's going to end up stopping eventually.
Why you say that?
I think that they have competition. I think competition is going to make people say, I'll just maybe get Netflix for 1 month just for like watch Stranger Things or the shows I want to watch and get back on. Because there's so much stuff, too high quality stuff to watch on Disney Plus, like The Mandalorian. People love that show. And the fact that you have to have Disney Plus not only to watch it, but because it's a weekly show, it makes you have to come back and keep your subscription.
That right there is actually what's going to kill the binge. Like, you're not going to be able to binge stuff on Netflix for that much longer. It's not. They can't make it work with Disney Plus and even yeah. Apple TV Plus. They're all doing the weekly thing. You know what I'm saying? Even if they, I think at most, maybe they can release them in packages. So if you had like a 15 episode season or something. Maybe they'll kind of do 3 or 4 episodes every week or something. So you can do like mini binges, because they set that whole standard. So for them to just abandon it completely, they already did that on some shows. Like you'll actually see a tag on Netflix where it says it has a tag on that says that it comes out weekly and you're not going to be able to binge it. So, I mean, in order for them to keep up with Disney, they're going to have to do that, because you have to have people actually coming or keeping their subscription so they can come back weekly versus, okay, I keep it for a weekend, we kill the whole season, done. I mean, I didn't even really think about it, right? I was watching friggin' Lost. I watched 7 seasons, and there's like 15 through 20 episodes or something like that every friggin' season. That man stretched out for years. If that was a Netflix subscription, all the money they would make versus me killing the whole thing in a couple months.
Yeah.
That's madness, man. I wouldn't want to take that L either. So I can understand from the business side.
Yeah. And that's the problem. I don't think they can do that with a lot of shows. Like Stranger Things, for example. If they come out next year and say, hey, Stranger Things is going to be a weekly show, people are going to be pissed.
What can you do? I mean, that's why I was saying they would, maybe for some of these shows where there's actually like a culture around binging them when they come out, maybe they'll have to do like, you know, 3 or 4 episodes a week. So you can kind of have like your little weekend mini binge. But I don't know, man, on the business side, I get it. And maybe from these new shows coming out after a certain point, they'll say from here on out, they're just going to be weekly. So maybe the shows that we already put out and we used to release them season and a whole bunch, maybe that, you know, we'll keep that, but it just, they can't do it. So yeah. I understand.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, man. Was there something else you wanted to talk about? I mean, we kind of hitting that.
Yeah, that's about it for now, man. We are good.
All right, man. Well, it was nice having this chat after a freaking month. Yeah, we're going to have to, we'll do this regularly. I say that every episode, don't I? You know, I'm going to let it just be what it is. I'm going to put in more effort to do this more often. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you for checking it out. Appreciate it. Definitely follow us on Twitter so you can get updates on updates on the podcast. If you have any questions, you can submit them there. Follow me at Skyward King if you don't already. And of course, follow Delvin at Delvin_Cox on Twitter. Once again, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you another time. Peace.